Hello, Lakeview. Hello, family and friends watching this video as well. I'm praying that God pours out his grace on you every day. This has been a long time that we've had to spend not able to attend public worship. Thankfully, by the grace of God, we are able to worship God, and I'm glad of the opportunity to worship the Lord God with my family, for God is good and gracious. But I've been thinking that we seem to be stuck. We seem to be stuck in a world that is apparently has no past anymore. It seems like we've been isolated so long that we're starting to forget what life used to be like. Our daily rhythms are all different and changed. Sometimes we don't know what day of the week it is anymore because all those rhythms of work and of Sabbath rest have been removed from us. Our social contact is so minimal. And I think that there's also a lot of speculation as to what the future will hold. The past seems distant. The future is being spoken of in a particular way. Maybe you've noticed this, that people are beginning to speak about the future as the new normal. What will the new normal be like? And I have to tell you, when I listen to the new normal, it sounds bleak. So I've been reflecting a little bit upon that, and I've been reflecting on it particularly in the light of our study in the resurrection and the post-resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel, as he appeared to Thomas, as he appeared on the beach making breakfast, as he dealt with Peter, and as he continues to deal with Peter. I've been reflecting on those wonderful words after that confession of love. The wonderful words come in John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this to him, he said, "Follow me." Those are helpful words for us to consider, because there's a past and a present and a future all contained in those words of the Lord Jesus to Peter. The past is simple enough. When you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. In other words, he was free to go wherever he liked and do whatever he liked. When we think about the past, sometimes we're inclined to look back on our younger days with a little bit of nostalgia. We're sometimes inclined to look back on our younger days as the glory days, the days when we could get up, get dressed, and do whatever we liked. That's how it sounds when Jesus speaks to Peter. When I think about it like that, it reminds me of the summer holidays from school. Summer holidays seem to stretch out for a long, unending period of time, a glorious time of freedom, the freedom of being young. Alas, it passes quickly. Many of you look back wistfully upon your youth, but it's gone. The future, on the other hand, doesn't sound too good for Peter. Jesus said to him, "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Sounds a little mysterious, but then the Holy Spirit added an explanation in the very next words that he was indeed speaking of Peter's death, when the very next words say, "This he said to show by what kind of death Peter was to glorify God." For Peter, it's not simply that the future involved growing old. For Peter, he's just been told by the Lord Jesus that the future will involve death, a cruel death, a noble death, the death of a martyr, but death. It's widely believed that Peter died by crucifixion. as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing witness to the name of Jesus, probably about 30 years after this prediction of the Lord Jesus had been made. Now that's a long time to live knowing that you're going to die a cruel death. But for Peter, I suppose we could put it like this: that was his new normal. Now I know you're thinking, new normal doesn't sound encouraging for us. But I think that it's important that we hear how Peter is instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ as to how to deal with that new normal. Because Jesus goes on immediately and says to him, "Follow me." There was a past. When you were young, you got up, did whatever you like. There is a future, which will be his new normal. So how is he to approach it? He's to approach the new normal in this way: follow me. Now, when Peter writes his second letter, he writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, he uses these words: "I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me." The important thing is that as Jesus glances at the past and he glances at the future, he then brings Peter back to the present, which is what he does with each of us. He brings you back to the present. Whatever the new normal is going to be, Jesus is saying to you, "Follow me." It's today. It's the present day. It's the now that we need to remember that we should get on with following Jesus. And maybe that's just what you need to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, because maybe you're beginning to wonder, well, what am I going to do? Or what should I be doing? What should I be doing today? To which the answer is, follow Jesus. Don't spend a lot of time looking nostalgically back at your past and your youth. And do not spend time looking fearfully forward at the new normal. But live today by following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are two things in particular that are clear from this text. And one of them I'm going to open up in detail, and the other I will just come to with some brevity at the end of our video. The first is this: that we are to follow Jesus today. And the second is that we are to glorify God. We are to glorify God in our life, and we are to glorify God in our death. So let's look at the first of these. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Ordinary words that are used to describe what it means to be a disciple, over and over by the Lord Jesus and in the New Testament. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to follow God? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Let me use God's own word to give you four examples of what following Jesus means. First of all, it means listening to the voice of the Lord Jesus. You remember in John chapter 10 and verse 4, Jesus said that the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Following Jesus because we know his voice. To follow Jesus means that you will read your Bible, study God's word, ponder the text, chew over the words, pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate your mind and help you to hear what God the Lord says on every page of your Bible. That's what it means to follow Jesus. I recently read a little book by a man called John Bloom, and he has a very provocative little title to his book. And the title of his little book is, "Don't Follow Your Heart." I like that. Follow Jesus. Don't follow your heart. Here's what John Bloom says. God does not want our eyes on our hearts, because hearts aren't designed to be followed. Hearts are designed to be led and to be directed. And then he quotes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, And verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. So God tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. He doesn't tell us to fix our eyes on our own heart and follow our own heart. He tells us to follow Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus by fixing your ears onto his voice. And we fix our ears onto his voice by living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Read your Bible. That's the normal for a follower of Jesus Christ. Following means listening to Jesus. Secondly, following also means denying self. Here's Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a statement that involves my whole view of myself. I am to listen to God's word and I am to learn to deny myself. When we follow Jesus, the new normal is that we die to self and that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. George Mueller is one of those Christian characters that is admirable and a little frightening. But I remember reading the Sermon on the Mount, exposition by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And when it came to that point about denying self, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones quoted this saying of George Mueller's. George Mueller said, "There was a day when I died, utterly died to George Mueller and his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure, died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends, and since then I have studied only to show myself approved unto God." It's a powerful statement of George Mueller. When you reflect on it, though, I think the Apostle Paul taught the church in Colossae the same thing, for he wrote to the church in Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, and he says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Or remember in Romans, Paul reminds us that we are to reckon ourselves or to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Following Jesus means there is a new normal of hearing his voice, of reading our Bibles, a new normal of learning to die to self and to deny self. It means turning away from our sin, pursuing holiness. It means turning away from ourselves and pursuing the Lord Jesus. But following Jesus involves a third thing, not only listening to him and dying to self, but it also means serving the Lord Jesus. Listen to John chapter 12 and verse 26. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Following Jesus means serving him. He's the master. He is not my servant. I fear sometimes that our prayers often sound like the demands that we would make to a servant. But I am his servant. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I must learn from him what it means to serve. He made himself of no reputation, so must I make myself of no reputation. He humbled himself, I must humble myself. He was obedient to the Father. I should be obedient to the Father. He was willing to suffer. I should be willing to suffer. Jesus is our example of what it means to be a servant follower. Do you like that little phrase? Servant followers. We all want to be servant leaders, but we should all be servant followers. Peter understood that. Peter understood that serving and suffering often go together. Listen to his words in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. If when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So how do we serve the Lord Jesus? What does it mean to follow him in that way? I think Jesus answers that for us, does he not, in the words of Matthew? When you find one of the least of your brothers hungry, go and give him food. When you find one of the least of your brothers or sisters thirsty, go and give them something to drink. When you find the least of one of your brothers or sisters are a stranger, go and welcome them. If you find them without clothes, go and clothe them. If you find them sick, visit them. If they're in prison, go to them. This is what serving the Lord Jesus means. Love your brothers and your sisters. That's the new normal for a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Jesus. Die to yourself. Serve the Lord Jesus. And then I think there's a fourth thing. Following Jesus means spreading the good news. Jesus reminds us that his followers become fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. You do what you can to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Spread the news. Spread the good news. In the new normal, be a gospeler. I found that word in John Owen's collection of writings. 16 volumes, and I found it in the index, used only once in his 16 volumes of writings. To be a gospeler. I like the word. I've adapted it. Better to be a gospeler than a gossiper. A gospeler has good news about the Lord Jesus to spread. So go and spread it. That's the new normal. You see what following Jesus means? What it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus? Listen to him, deny yourself, serve him, be a gospeler. But now, let me come back briefly to the other point that I mentioned at the start. I said that there were two things in this text that we should not overlook. The first, and the point that I wanted to stress the most, is that in this present time, we are called to follow Jesus. Whatever the new normal shall be, we are called to follow Jesus. But there is another point that's made in these words to Peter, and that is that we are to glorify God. We are to glorify God in our life, and we are to glorify God in our death. Let me remind you again of the words that are spoken here to Peter. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And then the Holy Spirit explained the meaning of these words. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. I find the words of J.C. Ryle on this text to be profoundly helpful. J.C. Ryle said, "The thing before us is probably not considered as much as it ought to be. We are so apt to regard life as the only season for honoring Christ and action as the only mode of showing our religion that we overlook death except as a painful termination of usefulness. Yet surely this ought not to be so. We may die to the Lord as well as live to the Lord." The new normal for Peter meant that for around 30 years, he knew the manner of death by which he was going to glorify God. And he lived with that. And not only did he live with it, but when you read the course of his letters, 1 and 2 Peter, when you read the book of Acts, there is no sense that Peter was discouraged by it. I think he always counted it honor to follow Jesus and honor to suffer for the Lord Jesus. I am comforted by the fact that the Word of God says by what kind of death he would glorify God. Because that means that it is not only the martyr's death that glorifies God. It was not only Peter's death by crucifixion that glorifies God. It means that even the quietest, and we might say the most natural death, may also glorify God. By what kind of death he would glorify God? To fall asleep in Jesus glorifies God just as much as Peter being crucified glorifies God. It helps to put the new perspective of what the new normal will be like into its proper place. J.C. Ryle went on to say this: let us pray while we live in health that we may glorify God in our end. Let us leave it to God to choose the where and the when and how and all the manner of our departing. Let us only ask that it may glorify God. The new normal? Follow Jesus. Glorify his name in your living and your dying, whatever that may be. The end that we're all moving towards, to glorify God. Why? That the name of Jesus may be the name above every name. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you because you are the Lord. You have done and you do good and glorious and gracious things, and you have sustained your church and your children to this very day. So we pray that from today onwards, we might have a renewed spiritual energy to follow you in the ways that your word describes for us, in order that, living or dying, the name of Jesus shall be exalted. Bless your people this day with much grace and with much mercy, and pardon all our sin. Bring the comfort of Christ, because we pray in his name.